Spirits of French Lick is proud to introduce the Matty Gladden Bottled and Bond Bourbon. This four-year-aged bourbon is double-pot distilled and non-chill filtered and has a full-bodied mouthfeel with eucalyptus, molasses, clove, ginger, and slight citrus, as well as grains of paradise. The finish is long and reappearing on the back of the tongue with notes of pepper, tobacco leaf, and mint cream. All of our spirits are available for tasting and purchase inside the French Lick Winery and Distillery. Spirits of French Lick, respect the grain, please enjoy responsibly, and be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram.
We are back again. We got Super Nash here, and we are podcasting tonight. It's exciting. I'm feeling a lot better.
Welcome
back, Tiny. I'm not quite 100%, but I'm getting there. And yeah, it's been a rough month, that's for sure. But it's good to it's good to see you on this Zoom meeting podcast for YouTube. We're doing that right now. But it's good to see you, Mr. Nash, Super Nash.
It's great to see you, Tiny, Mr. Mueller, Mr. Jeffrey Mueller.
Yeah, it's great to be back. I'm glad that I'm back. There was a couple of days when I was doing that. I wasn't sure if I was going to be back, but you know, like anything else, you get through it and then you start plugging on, getting back as close as you can to normal. Well, this podcast is kind of cool. It's something you have. Yeah, we are going to compare the Buffalo.
Cool, because we're doing it.
Yeah, for sure.
Scotch Bourbon Boys.
Yeah, that initially that everybody heard was let's see if I could do this. That was Alan Bishop of. Wait a second. Did you see that? I thought. Oh, I put him in my pocket right there. The Spirit of French Lick Distillery in West Baden, Indiana. It's really kind of they do a great thing there. We've had Alan on a couple times. I'm looking forward to and I'm still going to pressure Super Nash, but November 13th we're going to go back down. I'm going back down for sure to hang out with Alan Bishop for a couple days, the 13th and the 14th. So I'm looking forward to that.
I'm still not completely ruled it out. I'm just saying that I'm not going yet, but
I mean, this is,
I want to be there bad.
This is a once in a lifetime kind of thing. You know what I mean? This is bucket list shit. So I always do a nice reading. I've got the glasses on, so this should be pretty good. Spirit of French Lick, the largest pot still distillery in Indiana, is leading the way, representing both quality of the Hoosier artesian distilling process while paying tribute to its inseparable past and the many pre-Prohibition era distilleries that once dotted the hills of southern Indiana. By implementing best practices from those early times with improved modern methods, the Spirit of French Lick has created a unique place in the industry, not only in terms of its story, but also in methodology, double pot, still distillation, retention, and concentration of flavor and aroma. Relying on time-tested practices and new innovations in the distilling program, we craft our spirits that has defined character, equally driven by grain, barrel, yeast, and experience. Follow our model. Respect the grain. And that's one of the things that the Spirit of French Lick and you know, Lee W. Sinclair, William Dalton, Matty Gladden, they all are grain-forward, you know, whiskeys. Yep. And I can't wait. He should be releasing a few older expressions coming up. I mean, that's just how it works there. And he's been doing, Alan Bishop's been doing a great, great job. So thanks, Alan. I look forward to seeing you in November. So just remember, we are the Scotchy Bourbon Boys. We have not only the podcast, but we are on the internet. We are on Facebook. We have a Facebook group. So if you're listening, make sure you ask to join our Facebook group and friend me and Super Nash. I'm Tiny Jeff Mueller or Jeffrey Mueller on Facebook. And Super Nash is Martin Nash on Facebook. And then join the Scotchy Bourbon Boys. We are, I believe, 643 strong right now. And we have a bunch of... We have five new members this week. Bart Hurd, Craig Hickerson, Brennan Bogner, Andy Doyne, and Lee Gillig. Welcome to the Scotchy Bourbon Boys, one and all. We just did this. I feel so, what would you say, incompetent, because when I was down for that 3.5 weeks and wasn't podcasting, which is like 7 podcasts, but we had loaded a bunch in September and early October from the Kentucky Bourbon Festival. So the break was deserved, I guess, you know, but it wasn't very much fun. I would have liked to have a really kind of a deserved break and feel good. But we went from, I think, 570 members to, let's just see, I'll just check it right now, how many members are actually, to 642 members. So in those, whatever, 42, there's those 70-some members I wasn't able to mention, I'm sorry for that. So, but we're back to mentioning the new members each week, so this should be fun. Now, one of the cool things, Super Nash, that happened when we loaded those podcasts, the podcast went fucking crazy. So the whole time I did pay attention to the downloads, but we were setting records all over. And this past week, I believe it was on Wednesday, we went over 3,000 downloads in 1 month, which is completely, for the Scotchy Bourbon Boys, an insane thing. When we went over 1,000 in a month, I was happy. Then when we went over 2,000 and 2,500, but we hit 3,000. Now it's dropping back down. I don't know why or how these algorithms work, because once I loaded the new podcast, I just wasn't getting the same viewership that I was getting when I wasn't loading the podcast after loading like 11 podcasts in September. So that's really, I don't quite understand how that works, but welcome to all the new listeners. The podcast just has gone crazy, and we're excited for it.
And we thank you every time you download it and listen to it. And we definitely appreciate when you do listen to it, if you could leave us a comment on it, just to let us know how we're doing or what you like or don't like about it, and just to help us with it.
Yeah, for sure. And then what was that? Oh, yes. Tonight we are drinking out of our Scotchy Bourbon Boy Glencairns. Yeah, cheers. And we will be tasting, like I said, the Buffalo Trace kosher wheat recipe and the Buffalo Trace up against it. And it's going to be interesting to see what we both come up with. I would say my palate is back to about, my palate's at about 95%. But my nose is like at 50%. I really have to work for the smell. Now, it's really weird how this works, because some days you smell everything and then other days you don't smell anything. So I got something tonight. So that's why we're podcasting, hopefully. But I would say if we're going to do recommendations, people shouldn't be doing what I'm recommending. They should be doing what Super Nash recommends. I don't always, I'm humble here, because I'm not usually going to say that. I usually like what I like, and you guys can all fuck off. But when it comes to this, and that's the way it should be with your palate. But at the same time, right now, I'm relearning my palate after what I went through. So,
hey, and just for the record too, I'm no expert. I just like to taste and do the best I can to put it out there, what I taste and what I smell from it. And then just to give you an idea of what I'm smelling and tasting, and Jeff does the same thing. And just, to give you, so you don't go out there blind buying these bottles and paying the money for it, and to give you some kind of an idea to go on, because everybody's palate's different and everybody's smell is different too. So,
and then
here to try to help you along your bourbon journey.
There you go. And then we did while I was down, we ended up doing the giveaway, the Super Nash shares. And that was awesome. It was 10 bottles. And you did it live randomly.
Enjoyed it.
Yeah. And everybody, I believe, now has their bottles. Correct?
Yes.
And
everybody has them. We've got a lot of comments. About half the people, I think, commented back. And I don't know what happened to the other half, but I know everybody did receive their bottles. And I believe everybody has been enjoying them.
Right. And once we get our feet back up, I get my bearings again, we'll do a couple more giveaways like this. And then I also know that next month I'm shooting for the second Friday next month in November for bringing back Whiskey Live. So when we bring back Whiskey Live, that'll be very interesting. I had to push that off a whole month. We were set for the second Friday in October, and it just and then when we went for the next one, I'm just the fourth, I was still not ready to be tasting. So I got to just see how we'll push it until I can taste again completely, so we'll go for there. So that's really kind of cool that we've got Zavi coming up, and we'll go from, that's look forward to that going forward. But just remember, we're the Scotchy Bourbon Boys. Once again, we are on Facebook, the Facebook group. We've got a Facebook page. We're on Twitter at Scotchy The. We are on Instagram, the Scotchy Bourbon Boys. And then you can find us at www.scotchybourbonboys.com. Check us out there. And in the top right-hand corner, after you took a look at all the stuff, our bios and everybody who's part of the Scotchy Bourbon Boys, top right-hand corner is the Patreon button. Click that, come over, and give us support through Patreon. We appreciate anything and everything, any little bit we put right back into the podcast. There's expenses, there's technical expenses, there's we got to buy the bourbon, there's those type of expenses. So any little bit of help you can give us, there's, you can get a Glencairn in support, there's t-shirts, there's posting chips with,
with any one of the Scotchy Bourbon Boys, with a special bourbon or whiskey or rye of your choice from possibly my Super Nash's collection and things like that. So, yes, click on that Patreon button and help support us.
And then last but not least, check out the Scotchy Bourbon Boys on YouTube. A lot of the stuff that you hear through the podcast, you can see we put them up. Tonight's podcast will get up there. It's been a little rough editing. I haven't had the strength and the stamina to do the editing, but I've got this one and now the second one that I'm going to put up on YouTube within the week. So I'm starting to feel better and get back to that.
And just remember, anywhere that you like to listen to your favorite digital podcast, we are there, whether it be, you can even ask Alexa to play the Scotchy Bourbon Boys. We're on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Deezer. What's some more there?
Apple Podcasts, yes.
Apple Podcasts.
Any associates with Apple Podcasts. And then there's also, you named off, when you hit Deezer right there, man, you're right there. But there's a lot of different, your favorite podcast format, we're on it. All right, so that brings us to our next sponsor.
All right.
That is the Logstill Distillery. The Logstill Distillery traces its roots back to Joseph Washington Dance hollowing out of a poplar log to distill his first batch of Kentucky bourbon in 1836. And now, a new generation of distillers is continuing in his footsteps with Joseph Washington's great-great-great-grandson, Wally Dant, along with cousins Lynn Dant and Charles Dant as co-distillers. The campus is opening in phases throughout 2021 in Gethsemane, Kentucky. Let's see. For additional information, visit logstilldistillery.com. And you can, they've got tours going there. When we were there for Kentucky Bourbon Festival, we stopped by. They got the gift shop going. They've got their amphitheater. They are building the actual distillery right now. They got the small distillery inside the tasting room that's running. But the big distillery is, I'm sure, even in the last month, how much construction would have really pushed that. And then how far every single time. They've got Dant Crossing, which has the bed and breakfast. It's got places to stay. They're building a hotel. They're building a convention center. I mean, it's just going to be a fantastic. When we were there, we got to see the one bed and breakfast on the lake. And then we got to see the lake itself, how it's starting to just take on a picturesque kind of thing. So it's really kind of cool.
They're even going to have a railroad train come in with a dining car, and also, I believe, where you actually sleep on the train, too, and come up in there and dine on the train and actually sleep on the train overnight. And that's an experience in itself, to be able to ride a train to the distillery, get a distillery experience, and even check out a concert.
Or eat at their restaurant. They're going to have a restaurant. I mean, it's just they got everything going in the mix. That's for sure.
Yeah.
All right. That brings us to the Buffalo Trace comparison. The Buffalo Trace kosher weeded recipe up against Buffalo. I've got that. You show the...
Buffalo Trace.
Yep. These two are going up. And quite frankly, until tonight, I hadn't tasted the Buffalo Trace kosher. I wanted to taste it a little bit and smell it. We did that on the start out, but I wanted to taste it and smell it before. Now my nose is kind of woke up. I was able to get something off of the bottle itself when I poured it in. So let's taste. Let's do the no.
Let me give you a little bit of history and why this kosher wheat came about. Buffalo Trace Distillery produced this wheat recipe bourbon in partnership with the Chicago Rabbinical Council. Made with the same high quality grains as W.L. Weller bourbon whiskey, this kosher spirit was aged in specifically designated kosher barrels. In order to satisfy Passover requirements, these barrels were sold to a non-Jewish executive in a ceremony witnessed by a representative from the CRC. After aging for 7 years, this wheat recipe bourbon was bottled at 94 proof after ensuring the bottling lines were cleaned beforehand and that no contact was made with non-kosher spirits. Released after Passover each year, this wheat recipe bourbon stands alone, a tribute to the legacy of America's oldest continually operating distillery.
Definitely.
We just said it is at 94 proof.
So. Yeah, it's caramel in color. And then, 94 proof. And the age statement is 7 years. And that really sticks to the side and then runs down in.
Is an undisclosed amount of corn, wheat, and malted barley.
Right. Annually released. That's for, every single year.
After Passover.
So the nose on this. I still, I got, that is weird.
I'm getting that
I picked up a lime Skittle.
Lime Skittle?
Which is, it's like, maybe that's what kind of fruit would that be?
Lime would be like...
A lime.
Lime or lemon, it's actually in what the saying from Ooh. The Buffalo Trace Distillery is summer fruits.
Well, I would say I pick up a lemon. When I actually, how am I getting a lemon? I just like that's, I picked up some lemon, a little vanilla and a little lemon, and they call it summer fruit, right? I'm going to try.
I'm getting just a little bit of floral. It's not like rose. It's like a honeysuckle.
I'm getting lime. That is just weird all of a sudden that my nose picks that up.
I'm getting vanilla and honeysuckle.
I get vanilla, lime, and I'm not getting, the lime's been replaced by the cinnamon that I was getting before. I don't get any cinnamon, but that's enjoyable. All right, so let's taste it. Wow. It is. That is my, it's cool that what I was tasting initially with you to start off and what my taste buds had jumped. I'm going to say I get on the palate. I'm still getting I get some fruit. It's like a richer fruit. It's not cherry, but maybe like a blackberry.
I'm getting the cinnamon.
I get the cinnamon.
I'm getting the cinnamon off the front.
And then maybe a little cherry. Maybe. I'm getting
dark cherry, like a dark cherry.
And then on the finish, now, wow. I should just keep drinking.
And then on the back of that sweet oak. Really sweet. Really, really sweet.
I'm getting... Yeah, initially I was getting a leathery oak that finish that I didn't like. Mm-hmm. But now that I'm drinking this, I got a sweet oaky... A sweet wood finish. Yeah. And I'm picking up a little bit on the palate. Not only the whatever, but I pick up a little bit of the lemon again. At the end, I'm getting a little bit of that summer fruit on the end.
Now, see, you said you're getting the lemon, and I'm starting to get the lime.
Okay, well, let's say it's close. Lemons and limes are really close. So that's interesting. I mean, it's an interesting blend. It's not what I would expect. You know what I mean? Yeah. So,
and on the finish. That sweetness goes away to me, and it's getting. I get that. Oh. Lime,
yeah.
And that sweetness goes away, and then I'm getting that oak, and then it's just very short, and there's kind of no hug to it at all.
No. Well, I get a little bit of heat, but not, but it's more upper throat than in your chest.
Top back and right at the top back of the roof of my mouth,
and
I'm getting that just that little bit of what maybe the heat. I'm saying is cinnamon,
and there's a little bitterness on the end. What's left in your mouth is a little bit bitter.
Yeah. That's where that's, like I was saying, that sweetness really goes away on the finish.
Wow.
Like it is up front.
I'm glad my palate woke up for this because I feel like I'm actually drinking something. Mm-hmm. I gotta say, I'm not a huge fan of it. I know there's a lot of bourbons out there that I'm a fan of. You know what I mean? But at the same time, it's unique. But, you know, out of all the things that I like or dislike going into a finish.
Go ahead.
A finish is, I don't like to finish bitter. And I'm getting a slight bitterness on the end of the finish. The finish initially is a little bit sweet. So what do you got?
I just pulled this up from Breaking Bourbon. This is the notes that they give. All right. On the nose, they say cinnamon, soft vanilla, floral, summer fruit, soft and pleasant. Then on the palate, mild cinnamon, dark fruit, slightly creamy, sweet and straightforward. Then on the finish, which you started hitting this, listen to this, leather, dry oak, slight bitterness, and then short.
Right, and then that slight bitterness is the end, and that's kind of not what you always like.
Yeah.
I don't like to end bitter. I don't mind a dry oak or a sweet oak or whatever, but I always want to end with a pleasant taste in my mouth. And when you get that bitterness, that's just not a fan. So, the nose, want to bash this?
No, before we do, let me, because I think this is a little bit interesting too. This is what Breaking Bourbon says overall. Buffalo Trace's three kosher whiskeys are the first kosher whiskeys from a major U.S. whiskey distillery. The wheat recipe will likely gather the most attention for its ties to the company's popular Weller brand. Those hoping it would be a new, easy-to-find poor man's pappy will unfortunately be disappointed as its flavor profile shares little with the iconic brand. Instead, it has much more in common with the Weller brand as it's sweeter and lighter than Special Reserve, yet features a touch more cinnamon and oak like Antique 107 does. It would be wise to keep expectations in check.
Yeah, and I kind of, I like this better than Weller Special Reserve, but Weller Special Reserve, you're going to drop $22. This is a $40 MSRP you picked up for $60 and now selling for $160. You know, and it's just like, but Weller Special Reserve in South Carolina will fetch you.
Weller Special Reserve is an $80 bourbon here in South Carolina.
Yeah, and it's a $22 bottle here in Ohio. And so... So price a lot of times doesn't equal what the taste is. But let's barrel bash this, okay?
Yeah, this is definitely not a $100 bottle. Would I pay $60 a bottle for it again? Probably not, since I picked up three bottles. But would I pay $24 for a bottle of Special Reserve all day long?
Yeah, well, I think it's unique. I'm just not, like I said, that bitterness that's still in my mouth. They said a short finish. Well, the bitterness is a lot longer than the finish.
Bitterness just seems to...
It's just there until you start drinking again. But let's start off with the nose. Now, I'm kind of happy with the nose to have a vanilla with some lemon and lime in it for me. Mm-hmm. It's kind of cool. So the nose, I give a 3. I'm sorry, I didn't have the hammer today, folks, for the barrel. So I'm using my hand, punching this sucker.
All right. To me, on the nose, it's a little bit weak. I was much more expecting a lot more out of it than just a little bit of cinnamon and vanilla and just that little bit of floral that I was getting. So
for a 7-year, too.
This one's a 2 for me.
Okay, so taste. It's kind of cool. I got my taste back. The initial taste, there's a little bit of vanilla, and then there's like a cherry, not quite cough syrup, but a cherry kind of thick taste in there. And I was pleasantly, enjoyed the actual taste. So I'll give the taste a 3.
again, on the taste for me, just not too many flavors there for me. I got that cinnamon, and then I got that like a dark cherry, and then I got that sweet oak. And so I'm going to have to give the taste a 3.
All right. Body, it was okay, but this is a 2 body. It doesn't fill your mouth completely. Your cheeks are left alone. The back of the roof of your palate's left alone. So I give this body a 2.
I agree with you. As I drink it, it's going straight across the roof of my mouth and across my tongue, but the size of my mouth, it's just not getting a full mouthful on it. So I'm going to give it a 2.
Then the finish. Coming to the finish, and I haven't done this very often, but the finish to me is a 0. Just
wow.
It's bitter. I mean, the end, there's a little bit of oak. I attribute some of the oak to it, the sweet oak, but then there was a little bit of the lemon or lime in there, just a little, and then it was just bitter. It's still bitter. Every time I do it, it's just bitter. So yeah. it gets a 0. So I give this.
I'm going to have to give it, to me, I got the sweetness. Well, actually, on the finish, as it hits the back, I get the just a slight bit of cinnamon, and then I get the sweetness, and then it goes away real quick to bitterness, and no kind of hug or anything whatsoever. And so I'm going to have to give it a 1.
So you gave it a 2, a 3, which is 5, and 7, and a 1, which gives it an 8. And cool. I gave it 3, 3, 2, 0, which is an 8. So we both agree this is an average 8 out of 16 bourbon. I'm not going to sit here and say I wouldn't drink it. I mean, actually, I'm drinking it. I like there's what saves this is that fruity kind of unique kind of flavor that's in there for me. Yeah. That's not always in a bourbon, but it is kosher and they do it and it gets it's weeded. And people love that kind of shit. So yeah. I'm not going to say don't buy it, but I'm going to tell you don't buy it secondary. I mean, realistically, yeah, $40.
It's not $100 or $140 bottle secondary. I can tell you that. You'll definitely be disappointed when there are so many more bottles out there.
Oh, yeah. There's some secondary stuff you could spend and just go wild. And I mean, like I said, it's not bad. But for me, you gotta have not bitter on the finish for me to So there we go. Okay. So Buffalo Trace, we're not gonna do tasting notes, but we're gonna drink this. We're gonna do our own tasting notes. We're not gonna pull from everywhere. Yeah. Now I can honestly say this is the bottle. This bottle was full when I started with having COVID. And I was using this, and at times it was tasting like rubbing alcohol to me, but it doesn't anymore. Now, the Buffalo Trace.
My bottle was full last week. I just opened this week.
Yeah, so you can see my bottle has gone down, and that's not bad. You got to take a little bit before you go to bed every night to keep yourself as healthy as you possibly could. Good, because it's good medicine.
Absolutely.
So let's do the same thing here. Let's do the nose. Now, see, on this, I'm picking up a caramel. I pick up a little bit of caramel.
I'm getting the caramel and maybe some brown sugar.
Yeah, I would say so, too. I get that little bit of sweetness.
Mm-hmm.
It's the classic bourbon nose. Now, this is not the weeded. This is not a weeded bourbon. This is the mash bill. I believe Buffalo Trace is number 2 mash bill, correct?
I don't know. I didn't pull up anything on this.
All right. Anyways, so we'll be corrected if it's not. But this is not a weeded bourbon. This is their rye. I believe it comes from their rye mash bill. Well, they don't. Everything's not. Let's see. Maybe it's on the bottle.
Oh, hold on one second. Says I got my phone handy here.
You got your phone handy, but I got my glasses, and I'll read the back of the bottle. But I bet you.
I don't know whether it's going to be on there, but it might be.
There's something on it.
What you got on there?
They're traditionally handcrafted. Buffalo Trace has a smooth, confident taste that invites you.
Right. I got it.
Okay.
Let me scroll up. Oh, shoot. All that trouble, and it says mash bill undisclosed.
It's an undisclosed mash bill. Okay, well, sometimes they say the number. I mean, all of Buffalo Trace's mash bills are undisclosed. We know this. Yeah. All right, so
they say whether.
But we know it's not weeded, so this is not the weeded mash bill.
Yeah. It's number one or number two.
So it's either piss or shit, right? All right, let's do this. The nose. All right, we did that. Now let's taste it. Where'd the hug go?
There's no hug on this.
What is going on? All right, I gotta wake this up, sucker up. Much bolder. Vanilla, caramel.
This is 90 proof.
There you go. I got 90, yeah, 90 proof.
Yeah.
I get a little bit of coffee on the finish. See, this finish is definitely a little bit of leather I'm getting, but I don't get, and a little bit of, but I'm not getting the bitterness that I was getting on the end.
This is a sweet.
Caramel, vanilla on the front, a bowl, the body is a little bit fuller, and then, although I'm not a huge fan.
Almost like a burnt brown sugar.
Yeah. Definitely. Back palate. Maybe.
Maybe a little leather.
How about a dark, dark chocolate? Dark, dark. Like a dark chocolate with no sugar.
Yeah.
On the finish.
Yeah, almost like a cocoa
type. All right. Let's barrel bash this.
Okay.
On the nose.
I'm getting a much better nose off of this. I'm liking this nose a little bit better than the kosher wheat, so I'm going to give this a 3.
We're doing role reversal. This nose to me is what bourbon's supposed to smell like. So I'm going to give this a 2 because it's not exceptional to me. What I liked, why I gave the nose on the Buffalo Trace kosher a 3 was because it had a flavor of a lemon and lime in there that I was picking up that made it unique. So I'm going to go 2 on the nose. All right, taste. Ooh, big caramel that time. I love, this is kind of fun waking my taste buds back up. All you right. know, what, you know, getting them going again. Because I have to almost learn this shit all over again. Who knows? But I'm willing to.
That's awesome.
I get the, on that one, I got big caramel. I got almost like a milk dud this time. The burnt sugar was in there. So the taste on this is, I'm going to give the taste a 3.
I'm getting lots of caramel. I'm getting that brown sugar. That sort of the burnt brown sugar to me. Like a caramelized sugar. you know.
Yeah.
And, I'm gonna have to give it a 3.
Did you say a caramel?
Yeah.
Caramelized sugar is caramel, so you could just say
I said a caramelized sugar.
Yeah, that's caramel. You said a lot more words than just saying caramel.
How they burn?
Yeah, they burn the sugar to make caramel. That's what they do. It's called it's caramelized sugar.
They don't burn the sugar.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh yes, I love you, brother. I love you, man.
Words. And plus, I was pre-gaming.
There you go. All right. So now let's do the body. On the body, this one is a 3 on the body. It's not a 4. Don't go out to the cheeks, but it's full flavor. It's all there. Ooh,
it's
I'm breathing it. Well, let me try that.
Filling, and to me, it's reaching out more to my cheeks on this one as I take a swallow of it. It's coating my mouth real good, and you can actually see it actually coats the glass pretty good too.
Nice, yeah. Long, thick legs. It's a nice body.
Not for a 90 proof.
Yeah.
Really surprising to me. So I'm gonna have to give it a 3 too.
So let me see. I went 2-3-3, which is I'm at 8, and you went 3-3-3, and you're at 9, correct?
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
All right. So the finish.
And I'll go first on the finish. And this to me is where this bourbon is lacking, is on the finish. Because there's no hug, and it's like
no hug at all.
Yeah,
less than the kosher.
And once it reaches the back of your throat and all, it's like everything sort of goes away real quick to me. All the flavors just dissipate real quickly. And so that's why I'm going to have to give it a 2.
A 2. And I will concur.
All right.
So I gave it a 10 and... Whoa, that was... Yo! Did you hear that?
Yes, I did.
Somehow I got to put this someplace. Oh, it's going to drop. Here we go. Oh, that didn't sound good. The barrel broke. Anyways, so I gave it a 10 and 11, opposed to 2 8s. So we both have concurred that Buffalo Trace regular is better than the Buffalo Trace kosher wheat recipe. Now, there is a unique aspect of the kosher unique recipe, but I have to say that based off of, you know, my limited tasting and nosing, that the Buffalo Trace was definitely a better bourbon. So yeah, we compared the two. I mean, how is the comparison? One's a rye, the other one's a wheat. You know, there's just not a lot of comparison, but, you know, both of them are their Buffalo Trace products. I think the kosher is in it's romantic compared to the regular Buffalo Trace, right? It's got that kosher aspect. It's released after Passover. They do a lot of special things, cleanings of their machine and everything, and then they store it in special barrels and everything. But for taste, if you're just going off a taste, but, you know, it's kosher, so during Passover, if you're Jewish, you're allowed to drink this bourbon, and it's not a bad bourbon. I mean, it's an average bourbon. It's something that you're, you know, if you are a big bourbon fan, it allows you through Passover to actually drink bourbon, you know. Otherwise, the other bourbons aren't kosher, so you're not allowed to drink. So there is an aspect of it that really is kind of cool, and I hope the people that it's intended for get to actually buy and drink it, you know, that they sell that to that particular market.
And I'm just reading this that as the mash bill is undisclosed, that we know that it is low on rye, that it's 10% or less, and that George T. Stagg, Eagle Rare, E.H. Taylor Small Batch are all made from the same recipe. If that gives you any kind of idea of what this recipe is.
Well, it doesn't come close to any of those.
No, it doesn't.
Not at all. So, so that brings us to our final but not last sponsor. That's the Watershed Distillery. Now, Ann Dimmick is like a Scotchy Bourbon boy fan girl. I mean, she has pulled out all the stops for us. She was on not the last podcast, but the podcast before, and we tasted the Watershed Distillery 6 year, which with her. It was a damn good bourbon. With the app finished in the, it was the cask strength finished in the apple brandy barrels. When you come up this next time, Super Nash, to visit, we gotta go down there. We gotta eat there. You gotta meet her. They are doing some, you know, and Aaron Harris also, and also meet Greg, the owner. What are you doing? It's the middle of the podcast and you're freaking taking, like, you're not selfies, but you're taking pictures, you know. Maybe you could send me the pictures of the bottle so I could put it there. Yes, that's good. Yeah, but you are on YouTube, you know. We still are on YouTube. It's like I'm sitting here watching you. You're like eyeing it up and everything like that. Well, anyways, Anne has been such a great supporter. We love Anne. And Aaron has been a great supporter also. So I'm going to be finding my way down there again in the future. So I look forward to seeing them. Yes. And then.
Absolutely.
Oh, bless you there. There you go. The whiskey is cleaning out my nose. So everything's loosening up.
And it's kosher whiskey too.
Yeah. So Watershed Distillery is Ohio's largest craft distillery and producer of the number one selling Ohio-made bourbon in the world. Open 7 days a week for tours and tastings and home to Watershed Kitchen and Bar, one of the top three restaurants in Columbus, but it is a fantastic restaurant. I've eaten there twice. Watershed Distillery is the perfect destination for great bourbon, exceptional food, and an amazing craft cocktails. Learn more and book your tour at watersheddistillery.com. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram, and always drink responsibly. Cheers. So that's Watershed Distillery. So last but not least, I know you've been out there bourbon hunting. So I'm going to pour myself a little bit more Buffalo Trace, ensuring that I will sleep well tonight.
All right.
And what have you been finding out there, Super Nash? I mean, you have been out there. You've been telling me about all this stuff and all this unique stuff that you've been getting and kind of hitting home runs.
Wow. I have really been on the move and been hitting some honey holes and making some deals with these store owners around South Carolina and Georgia and North Carolina, and finding some good finds in North Carolina. I actually got two bottles of the Little Book 5. Have you found one yet?
No, I haven't. Well, I haven't been out searching. No, I want Little Book 5. I mean, I have not. I mean... Well,
guess what?
What?
You know, I can't drink two bottles of Little Book 5.
Yes.
So who do you think number two bottle is for?
Oh, the little old me. Thank you.
Yes, sir. It'll be coming up to you this week along with a bunch of samples. All right. You got 1 second. I've got to run and get this. So talk about something right quick.
All right. Just remember, we're the Scotchy Bourbon Boys. Follow us on all the formats. We'll cover this. www.scotchybourbonboys.com. Remember, top right-hand corner, the Patreon button. Push that. And we're on Facebook, Instagram, and all the podcast formats. Plus, check us out on YouTube. And please subscribe in all the formats. And leave feedback because that means a lot to us. So, now you're back.
All right.
Got that covered.
All right. Just the other day, I found in the back of a dusty cabinet, glass cabinet, hidden by a bunch of other unicorn bottles in this shop, this.
Yep.
Which is?
You got the reflection in there, but that's that Jim Beam Sherry Cask finish.
Jim Beam Sherry Cask finish bourbon.
Nice.
Yeah. And
what did they let it go for?
$199.99.
That's not bad at all. Not bad at all.
And I actually had to blow the dust off of it. It still got dust on it. But it was in the back, and I saw it back there. And finally had to ask the girl, I said, I hate to do this, but she had to pull a bunch of other bottles and stuff out of the way. I said, I've been seeing that case in the back corner back there. I said, got to pull it out. I said, I want to make sure what it is, and I want to know what the price is. And she's like, well, I don't know, but I'll have to look it up. She actually had to go to the back because they couldn't find it in their system or anything. And, come out of the back of my list, said, best we can do is like $199. I'll take it. I know that's probably, you know, it probably is like what, 125.
I think it's $124.99.
Yeah, I was thinking.
No, it might have even been $149.99 because of the box.
Yeah.
That display. I remember seeing it. For a while at this one place, and you know, that's when I wasn't willing to spend $129.99 for a bottle. But now you have completely corrupted me, and I've spent a lot of money. My blood oath is sitting behind me. I'm waiting to get my palate back 100%, and then it's going to be one of these nights. We're gonna crack that sucker. We even bought me and my wife bought two Glencairns that say Blood Oath. And I think she has some, I think she bought I have a hat, but I think she bought a t-shirt to go with it. So we're going to do that podcast, me and Roxy. That'll be fun.
You know, Blood Oath samples 4, 5, and 6 are coming up this week too.
Oh my God. So yeah, we could just do this major Blood Oath.
I'm gonna crack that and send you a sample of that. And I'm telling you, we actually had a sample of this, and I want to say we got a little sample of this at a restaurant somewhere.
That's a karma.
Way back, like last April, when we went up for the opening, and that's the reason I started searching out for that.
Okay, and then we got the Monk's Road. That we got to break open and do a podcast on that one. I'll have Xavier with us and we'll just fucking go crazy on that one.
It's really good. I like it. But let me tell you about a few of the other things that I found.
Okay.
When I was over in Atlanta working a couple of my jobs over there and had to spend the night near the airport, I ventured out that night and liquor stores stay open really late, almost 10 o'clock. Over in Atlanta, and I ventured out, and about 9:30, I hit this place, and I found two bottles of the Jack Daniel's 10-year,
which is hard to find.
Yeah, you can't hardly find it anywhere,
and it's supposed to be really good.
Yeah, I'm going to send you up a sample of that because I hadn't cracked it open. Yeah, it's still sitting up there. I'm anxious to find out what it tastes like, too. So, like I say, we got lots of podcasts coming up.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure. We have lots of whiskey that we pulled out. I mean, I can't wait to taste the – I have not popped the Maker's Mark Kentucky Bourbon Festival pick. It's just like I want to, but what, you know, when you can't taste, you got to make sure that you're tasting. So also we're going into beard season. I can't wait. I'm going to start growing my,
I started to, and I had about 4 days growth, and I actually shaved it off this morning because I had to go to work.
There you go.
At all. But I wished I wouldn't have. But anyway, another thing that I found, and I actually got this and talked to Dylan. I told you about it the other day. Was Kentucky Owl Batch 11, and talked the guy into it. You know, long.
Now that batch is the first batch without Denny. That's their first batch on their own. I mean,
yeah,
it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Kentucky Owl.
Yeah,
I mean, it's being distilled at Bardstown Bourbon Company. You actually can pick some of that up. But and then they blend it with, I believe, other stuff. They do the blending, and he was always doing the blending. But they had this distillery. They purchased the land. They own the land. They got the lake, and COVID put it on. But I think they might. I mean, the distillery looked freaking awesome. Like what they were going to do. It would be nice to get to that point.
Yeah, I was actually sipping on some batch 10 earlier this evening, just a sip, and all.
Didn't you pick up a 13-year bourbon from Prestigent and Preservation Distillery? Didn't you? That was 13-year. What's the name of it?
I will actually tell you.
I mean, Matt's gonna be mad at me that for some reason, but you gotta excuse me because I still have 100%. I'm not back from the COVID brain. I've got it back here. Hold on, I can just turn around. Rare Perfection. I've got the 14-year Rare Perfection, which is delicious. Now he's bringing out. Here it comes. Look at this.
This is what, after Matt, well, we were doing our regular tasting, what everybody else gets to taste, and then all of a sudden he said, hey, how about grabbing that bottle of the 13-year Old Saint Nick?
Yep, there you go. And that's actually a bourbon.
Yes.
And most of the Old Saint Nicks are, they're not bourbon, right? They're rye, correct?
Most of them are rye, but you got Old Saint Nick, a lot of 8-year, and I believe 8-year and 10-year and 12-year bourbons.
Yeah.
But all you can usually find on the shelf are the ryes. Because the bourbons are so good that everybody sucks them up right quick and you can't find one.
Well, you found one.
Well, actually, I found this one because I knew where it was before we went up there. And it was right here in Anderson. And come to find out that there was only 12 bottles in the whole state of South Carolina.
And you got one.
And yeah, I got one. After we tasted it, I told Matt that day, I said, I know where one's at. I'm going back to get it.
I remember that.
Yeah. Well, guess what? Just the other day, which actually now I'm going to be helping the store Liquor Express in, I can't say where it's at because I'm going to be helping them do barrel picks now. He's got two stores, but he's got three bottles of this sitting on his shelf.
Okay. So you're
So I'm going back to get one more bottle this week.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. You were like, the whole time I'm sitting there, you know, I'm losing my mental stability over what happened. And you're like calling me and getting my stability back a little bit because you keep telling me, what about the Bookers that you picked up? I mean, fuck. Yeah, that's 11 Kentucky Owl. And then you're picking up Bookers from what, 2013 or 2014? I mean, it was just like, what? Yep, there's a Jack Daniel's 10-year. Yep. Here he goes again. He's just pulling out. You do realize that now he in Supernash's house. Supernash's house. He's in a room that doesn't have very much bourbon, but the whole house is filled with bourbon up until that doorway, and he's just picking off the new ones that he just piled up recently.
It's actually, there's a closet there, and the whole closet is, that's my bourbon vault. This is your little book five coming up to you, brother.
Man, I can't wait, because that was delicious when I got to taste that initially.
I'll be packing that up tomorrow, but check there's, this out.
Yeah, I can't wait. That one I want to share with you. I mean,
guess where I found this.
Atlanta.
Yes!
Yes.
Place.
No shit.
Yes.
And then is he hiding them, or is he just picking them up randomly? And then, so as they sell, he's got some place that he just kind of keeps filtering.
I have no freaking idea where this guy gets this stuff from, but when he gets them, they always go up on that top shelf.
And nobody can reach it.
Nobody sees them but me, I guess, because first thing I do is let me borrow your ladder to climb up there. Because I literally have to take a ladder to climb up there, but it is a 2014-07 batch of Booker's.
Before they started naming them.
Yeah. It was before they started
Now, as far as the newest Booker's, what's it called? I mean, I knew Tagalong, but I missed out on the release, the new Booker's release. What do you did you get the new Booker's?
No, I hadn't got to 03 yet.
What's the name? Do you know?
Of the new, I don't know.
Okay.
I do it before you ask me, but all this excitement of all this new stuff.
Yeah, okay.
And there is one more that I got that was pretty exciting to me. Might not be to a lot of other people. Let me get it right. Where is it?
Folks, he's digging. On YouTube, all you can do is see his ass.
Oh, yeah.
Here comes another one.
Actually, two more.
Yeah, exactly. This is the kind of month that Super Nash... This is going into... Yep. When you're talking about November and Christmas and their releases, Jim Beam is getting ready to open up their brand new visitor center that they've been working on for the last 18 months, plus a brand new restaurant. And I'm going to somehow get down there for a weekend. It's going to be pretty cool. Here we go. What the heck?
This is the second batch of the 117 series.
Ah, from Old Forester. Where'd you pick that up?
I got this down in Georgia.
Okay.
At another place.
All right.
And I got this one. This one cost me $100.
And that's a 375?
Yeah, it's a 375 liter.
Okay. Excellent.
But it goes for... Yeah, it's like 300.
But you're able to pull it out of the Atlanta store, right?
Yep, exactly.
All right.
I did have one more bottle, but it must be in there.
You don't have to show it. What was it?
It's a barrel bourbon.
That's right.
Came from, yeah, it's the 2020 New Year edition barrel bourbon. And, I knew it was like completely different from all the other barrel bourbons. And that was the bourbon that led me into how I got this Kentucky Owl Batch 11 for $300. Because I purchased it first when I found it. And then long story short, we talked and talked and talked. Told him about a Scotchy Bourbon Boy podcaster and all that. And then he got him down to 300 because he wanted 400 for that. So
my best investment ever was your cards. It gets you bourbon, it gets you into things, the same thing. I can't wait to get back up on my feet. There was so much going on before I got this, but I'm through it, and I'm looking forward to a lot of fantastic podcasts. I mean, now I'm getting a lot of caramel off this Buffalo Trace on the nose now.
That's what I picked up, and yes, it's opened up so much more.
And then
it's just like a caramel like a caramel apple.
Yeah, I mean, Buffalo Trace itself at $24.99 is a damn good deal if you can pick it up. There's no doubt.
One of my favorite like daily drinkers.
Yeah.
Because all this other stuff.
Special occasions.
These open bottles, you know, this stuff that I get as I do open them, they're in there on my shelves.
I know.
I sip on those on special occasion or when I want to change.
What are you going to drink? What are you going to drink when Atlanta wins this World Series? I've been following that pretty close. I mean, it's been a great World Series. I mean, I've all year long, I thought Atlanta, I had one of their pitchers and their closer, which in fantasy baseball, I was always paying attention to Atlanta. I'm a diehard Brewer fan, so when Atlanta was playing Milwaukee, I definitely was cheering for Milwaukee, but it was okay that Atlanta won because Atlanta used to be Milwaukee. Remember that?
Yes, I do.
The Atlanta Braves used to be the Milwaukee Braves, so it was like Milwaukee playing Milwaukee in that series. And so, but I watched that.
Milwaukee would have beat the Dodgers. I really did.
Yeah.
When they were playing.
Last year, yeah, when they were playing the Dodgers, yeah. So it was a cool series watching it, and I'm glad Atlanta's in there. That's who I was cheering for. I did not want the Dodgers to be back, and Atlanta and Houston should be a damn good – at least there should be some fucking offense instead of these pitching duels.
Honestly, I was online, me and my son both, because, you know, we're big Braves fan. We went to about 8 games this year.
Yep.
And I had tickets to game number 1 last Saturday at the Braves, but it just so happens that I was up in North Carolina.
You were working.
And I purchased the ticket as soon as the Braves finished the Dodgers. And, the Dodgers finished their series. And that was on Thursday night, and I already had the tickets to game number 1. And then all of a sudden, I get the email Friday morning, well, your game is scheduled for Saturday at 8. I was like, holy shit, I'm like up in Gatlinburg and won't be able to make it back. So
had to get
here
those
I
away.
Am with 2 tickets, $360. And so, but I was able to, you know, quickly sell them to a guy. It belongs to the South Carolina Bourbon Club, and he took his son. So me and my son were on today. 3 different pre-sales. We had codes to 3 different pre-sales at Ticketmaster. And the regular tickets to Ticketmaster don't go on sale until tomorrow at 10 a.m. Let me tell you the ticket prices. It's unreal. And the computer bots for StubHub and Vivid Seats or, you know, all these big ticket yep. companies were in full force on those sites today. Because as quick as we could click on tickets, we're sorry, those tickets are gone. You have to select different seats.
Right.
Well, another thing was level 4 tickets, which is top of the stadium, the cheapest seats in there were $580 a seat.
Yeah, baseball's never been friendly to the fans as far as ticket prices.
I paid $180 a seat, and I was at level 1, which me and my son all year long we've been setting down field level, you know, $100, $125.
Like once again, for an average game, you know, during this thing is $125. They aren't friendly to fans. There's no doubt.
I knew they were going to go up. But
$560 for 4. Yeah. But no. Yeah. It's the World Series. It's like people have gone crazy and.
Yeah. Those fourth level seats, you know, third level was 1,000 and up. First and second level, they were already gone or weren't open yet. What left were gone were already up to the season ticket holders and A-listers. Well, third level was 1,000 and up, and fourth level was $500 to $800. I even screenshotted a couple of times.
So. You were just out.
I said, the computer bots are getting us. He was at school at college, and both of us were online, you know, in the queue line, had a couple thousand people ahead of us. But once we got on, as soon as we could click on tickets, the bots were just, before we could get them in our cart, they're gone.
They're gone.
And I mean, I was willing to pay, you know, $1,000 to take my son to a World Series game.
Right. But you just didn't get on. Didn't get.
No.
Well, maybe you'll get a friend who can't go on a Saturday because whatever. And he'll sell you the tickets for, you know, face value.
Hey, either way, I've got a big blow up Jumbotron, 16 foot screen, a projector I can put out here in the front yard with a fire pit. And a bottle of bourbon and invite a bunch of friends over.
Yep, and watch the World Series. Well, all right, everybody, remember, let's have Mr. Morrison take us out.
Remember, good bourbon, good friends, it's good times.
And remember, go the fuck out there and live dangerously.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Do the next whiskey.